You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, last Wednesday night we talked about a power of attorney and talked about using the name in a business sense. You know, I think about four reasons why you'd bestow upon someone your name to use. That would apply to Christianity, something similar to what has been done with us in Christ Jesus. Power of attorney, of course, is an obvious one, and you understand powers of attorney. In a business sense, a power of attorney is very limited. If the boss is going to be gone a long time, he needs someone to continue to operate the business and write checks and so on and so forth, he'd give him a power of attorney. In another sense, you don't need a power of attorney to work in a business. Anybody that works in a business uses the name of the business. You don't have a legal document drawn up there, but you do have a relationship. I mean, if I were an employee of a company, obviously I would make decisions for that company. And we go over checklists of stuff that we need to order and shipping and receiving and so on and so forth, and I'd have the right to order if I had that position. I wouldn't need a power of attorney for that, but because I really don't write the checks, are you with me? And I'm not responsible for all that. That's just a business sense. So in a business, you're an employee, you have the name of the company that you use. I used the example last week of working for Trinity Produce for several years and buying things all over the United States, buying truckloads and boxcar loads, train car, loads and of produce all over the country in the name of Trinity Produce. And I never paid for any of it. Just I was an employee. I had a relationship there, and I was authorized to do that. It wasn't just a privilege. It wasn't just an honor. It wasn't just a gift, as it were. It was my responsibility. I think sometimes we look at Christianity that way as what awesome privilege to have this name and what a gift and these are great promises. But actually, it's our responsibility. We're authorized to use the name. We're supposed to be praying for people. Are you with me? It is our business. It is God's business. Amen? So as employees, we can see that. A step further would be the power of attorney. Jesus left and gave us his name. Matthew 28, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, all authority, that Greek word exousia there, Matthew 28. And he says, go ye therefore. Well, that's a commission, that's called the Great Commission. And then that's a power of attorney, where you sign over a person, your name to a person, to operate in his name. Jesus is in heaven. How many of you know that? Read your Bible lately, you'd know he's seated at the right hand of God. But we're down here. So he has authorized us while we're here to use his name. That's power of attorney. Makes good sense from a business standpoint, obviously, but even further than that, we've got power of attorney. Another sense you could use, you'd give someone your name would be to, as an ambassador. An ambassador represents the country that they're an ambassador of. And they have full rights and privileges. They say things. They're speaking for that country. When someone comes from the United States as an ambassador and goes into another country, when the president can't go and other people that are in government leadership can't go, we have ambassadors. We have an ambassador to nations all around the world. Everyone has an ambassador. And they represent our country because they are either citizens of this, citizens or you'd be an ambassador if you were of the same race or nationality or citizenship. I guess you'd say it that way. But when you speak for the country. You have the name of the country over you. Well, that applies in Christianity too, because the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, use ambassadors to communicate between kingdoms. We're representing the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Well, there's a world we're in that's not quite the kingdom of God. You ever run into anybody who wasn't in the kingdom of God? Quite often, actually. But we represent the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors, and so we speak for the kingdom. Almost sounds sacrilegious to say that, doesn't it? But that's still the case. We're God's agents. We're authorized to carry on his business because we have a relationship. We're employees of Jesus and company. We have a power of attorney. If someone's not present to take care of business, they will sign over their rights so someone can operate in their name. That's what Jesus has done. We're ambassadors representing the kingdom of God. Hello. In foreign territory. In a world that lies in darkness. But all those scenarios when you think about it, have to do with some kind of relationship, an employee, or you know, you might be a power of attorney, get a power of attorney when your parents get older, and maybe there's mental problems or physical problems, and they'll sign over the right. You're a part of that family. You know, that would give you put you in a position to have a power of attorney. It could be business, or it could be, you know, it could be family. Ambassador, obviously, you've got to be from the place you're an ambassador of, and sent out from whoever's in charge of that kingdom or that place. And that's exactly what's happened with us. We're ambassadors for Christ. So in those three scenarios, you can see that, but it all comes down to relationships. I have to be a citizen. I am a citizen in heaven. Incidentally, I have a citizenship in heaven. So do you. We've been washed in the blood. We're born again. We represent another kingdom now. We got another king, and we're in another kingdom. Hallelujah. We preach the kingdom of God. And that has a whole different set of rules and a whole different set of rulership and leadership. And we represent that by using the name of Jesus. And then the fourth situation I can think of that would fit would be marriage. There again, there's another relationship, wouldn't it? Why would you bestow someone's name on someone? Well, business, power of attorney, ambassador, and marriage. Now, marriage is getting a little more close to what we're talking about in Christianity. Because when you marry someone, I mean, you got all the goods. Hello? Isn't that right? I mean, your name is changed. You just don't have the right to use a name. Your name changes, or used to anyway, you know. You take on that name. And that's what Jesus talks about, you know, over and over throughout the Scripture, is that, you know, we're the bride of Christ. He's the groom, as it were. You know, Romans makes a big case there, Paul does in Romans 7, about the law being married to the law. And the law says that as long as your husband's alive, you're not free to marry another. The law. Now, we're talking about Old Testament covenant, Old Covenant law. But if the law dies, or if the husband dies, you're free to marry another. And he says, you are dead to the law and free to marry another who is Christ. I love that. Did you know the Old Covenant has died? It's dead.
Yeah.
And that freed us to marry Jesus.
Yeah.
And now we bear His name. Hallelujah. We're married to Jesus. We have His name. And we write checks in that name. Are you with me? And whatever's in His account, we have access to. I mean, if my name's on the check, you know, and if you've got a joint account, you know it is, then anybody can write the check that's on that check. And that's what we have in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to John 14. Hallelujah. Talk about authority, the right to use the name, what that entails. So you've got in a business sense, you've got it in a power of attorney, you've got it as an ambassador, and you've got it as being married to Jesus. All these scenarios give you rights to use the name. God authorized us because we're working for Him. He authorized us because He gave us power of attorney, Matthew 28. He's authorized us because we are ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. He's authorized us to use His name because we are married to Him and we bear His name. And whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, John 14 talks very plainly, 14, 15, and 16, about praying in the name. That's where our authority is. Now, you know, this is something we've got to get a hold of. This has nothing to do with our merit, our goodness, our holiness. I believe in living holy. I believe you need to repent of sin. I believe if you're in sin, it's going to affect your faith. But you just being clean and holy doesn't mean you're going to get your prayers answered. You got to believe God to get your prayers answered.
Right.
You have to have faith to get your prayers answered. God's looking for faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. So when I come, I must come in faith. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, notice that something's not there, and I'm not trying to make a huge deal of this because I do believe in holy living. I believe we should live holy and repent of sin, and I believe it affects our faith. But He doesn't say, if you are clean enough, when you come to Me, I will answer your prayer. If you are perfect and spotless and have no sin and have not sinned, then you'll get what you ask for. I'm sorry, that's just not what the Scripture says. Now, where does sin come in? I think it comes in because it affects your faith. If you're in sin, you're going to have a hard time believing.
That's right.
Does that make sense? But we're not coming to God because we're so holy and so clean. Most of the time we come to Him to get clean. Hello, somebody. Well, if I was as holy old so-and-so, I was clean as so-and-so, maybe I could get the miracles he got. Oh, really? Well, did you not read? We read this last week. I don't know if you noticed it in Acts, the third chapter, when Peter, you know, they came running to Peter. It says, "Why look ye on us as if by our own power or holiness we have done this deed?" Are you out there? I don't know who's knocking. Somebody knocking on the door over there? Sound like a kid maybe knocking? Dr. Burr, would you go check that out? Or somebody? Peter was concerned that when he healed that man in Acts 3, we went over this, you know, that they thought he did it because he was so holy. And if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking the apostles did what they did because they were the holy apostles. You said, oh, really? People don't think that. Yeah, they've got whole churches built on that doctrine. That all passed away when those apostles passed away because only they could do that because only they were that holy. And yet Peter just answered the question. He says, why look on us as if by our own holiness or power we've done this great deed?
Right.
He said, be it known to you and all of Israel that by the name of Jesus, yea, faith in that name,
right,
hath made this man whole,
right,
that you see and know. Woo! So, yeah, we need to live holy, I believe, to keep our faith right, keep our faith up. Because if I'm not living right, I'm going to have a hard time believing. Does that make sense? But I'm not going to get my prayer answered because I'm so good. You know, we play that game. We play it with evangelists. We play it with, you know, great ministers and preachers. And they pray and they get an answer. And we think, well, I can never do that because I'm not Billy Graham, you know, or I'm not Kenneth Hagin, or I'm not... Oh, come on. They're just people just like you are. They have exercised authority that God has given them, and that's what you and I need to do.
That's right.
We've been given a name to use here. We need to use it. Amen? All right, John 14. Let's go through a few scriptures real quick. And talk about this. I told Brent I had about 15 things I want to teach tonight. I just want to cover that and finish up on that. You know, why would you give someone your name? Well, those are four scenarios that seem to me to make sense that as Christians, that's why He's given us His name, to carry on the work, hallelujah, as a power of attorney, as ambassador, and as His wife, His bride. We're family. Amen. You know, you might give your name in referral, you know, a referral. Someone might call and say, you referred someone. But that's not how Jesus operates. Jesus doesn't refer us. He authorizes us. We're not looking for referrals from Jesus. Are you with me? So that wouldn't really apply because Jesus doesn't refer us. Jesus authorizes us.
Wouldn't work anyway.
Wouldn't work anyway, yeah. Who's going to take His referral that doesn't know Him? They tried that in Acts 19, you know, where those seven sons of Sceva, a vagabond Jew, they tried to cast the devil out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. Well, it didn't work. The demon overcame seven of those vagabond Jews. Why was that? They used the name. Well, they didn't have any relationship with Him. They didn't work for Jesus. They didn't have a power of attorney. They weren't ambassadors for Christ. They weren't married to Him. They were seven sons of a vagabond Jew. The name of Jesus is not a magic word you can just pull out of a hat somewhere and make it work. You have a right to use it or you don't.
That's right. Amen.
Are you with me?
That's right.
And your right comes from being born into the kingdom. Your right comes from being born again. Your right comes from being married to Him, working for Him. Hallelujah. Woo!
That's true.
Y'all catching that? So it doesn't work unless you have that relationship. That name's been given to men whereby we might be saved. Acts 4:12 says. And so now that I'm saved, now I am a representative ambassador, one who works for Him. I have the power of attorney and I'm married to Him. Hallelujah. Jesus referred to using His name in prayer. And you're familiar with this. John 14:12. Most assuredly, or verily, verily, King James says, I say to you, he who believes in Me, I love that. He who believes in Me. Do you believe in Jesus?
Amen.
I believe in Him. He who believes Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to My Father. Wow. What does that have to do with anything? Everything. That has everything to do with what He's saying here. He's going to His Father and commissioning us to do what He did. The works that He did, and even greater works than these. Because, why? Because I go to my Father. Wow. Y'all catching this? See, this is a commissioning, as it were. And who did He commission? Who did He give His name to? The next verse says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Who did He commission? He that believeth on Him. What does Mark 16 chapter say? It says in the 17th, 18th verse, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall." I love that. So being a believer gives you the right to use the name. A believer in Jesus. "He that believeth on me." Those seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19 in Ephesus is where that took place. That tried to cast that devil out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. Didn't work because they didn't believe in Jesus. They were just trying to use that name. You know, that was real common under the Old Covenant, Old Testament. If you read through there, if you read the Bible very much, and I hope you do. You know, they thought that they could just figure out the ritual. That's what Balaam did. Exactly. See, Balaam, you know the story of Balaam, the prophet, you know? He was a prophet of God. He wasn't a prophet of God. Balaam was a pagan prophet who understood the rituals of Judaism and how to approach God and how to sacrifice to God. And he was going to do whatever it took to please God to curse Israel, because Balak the king wanted him to curse Israel. But every time he would get close to in God's presence, God said, "You're not going to curse him. You're not going to curse what I've blessed." Because the God, our God, contrary to pagan gods, cannot be manipulated.
Praise God. That's right.
Are you with me?
That's right.
But he thought, just, well, we'll go learn the ritual and we'll appease this God, the God of the Hebrews. We got this God over here and we got this God over here and this God over here. I mean, that's what the Old Testament, if you read through there, all these different pagans. The problem with all that was there's only one God. And they had a hard time getting a hold of that, all these different pagans. They thought, "Oh, your God's stronger than our God." And so, well, our God's the only God. Hello. And that's kind of what the seven sons of Sceva were doing. They'd seen people cast out devils in Jesus' name. Man, they'd seen people get delivered in that name. Believers walked up to people just completely possessed and come out in Jesus' name. Wow, they'd get delivered. And they'd go, "Whoa, that is awesome. Write that down. How'd they do that?" And so they got the ritual down. They said all the right words. They thought, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth, come out." And the demon says, "Well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" That's what the demon said. They didn't have a right to do that. See, our right comes from believing on Jesus. Our right doesn't come from just sheer force of will, just being strong in character and personality, being the type of people who take charge. No, our right comes from believing on Jesus. Hello. Doesn't matter if you're nervous or not nervous. If you believe on Jesus, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do,
yes, yes.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name,
yes.
I will do it." Wow, I love that. Now, I believe here, He's talking about prayer. I do know that there is a commanding aspect to the name, which casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, is a commanding thing. It's not an asking thing. You don't find them asking to be healed, New Covenant, and you don't find them asking God to get a devil out of someone.
Right.
They just said, "Come out."
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover."
Yeah.
He didn't say, "Ask me to heal them." And that's what we shouldn't ask. We shouldn't say, "God, I ask that you heal this person." We should just lay hands on them and say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." See, Mark 16 says that, "In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Are you with me? So that's kind of a command. But there are things we do ask God for. And the way we ask Him is in the name of Jesus. There's a difference between asking God for something and then just exercising our authority in Jesus' name. And that's what we see in casting out demons. You don't ask. What do you ask? I mean, what would you ask God about casting a demon out? You'd say, "In Jesus' name, come out." You wouldn't say, Lord, I ask that you take this demon, you make this demon. I mean, that's not even in there anywhere. Are you with me? But sometimes we do that with healing, and yet the Bible didn't say that. The Bible says just lay hands on the sick and you'll recover. It does say pray one for another that you may be healed, but then there may be someone maybe not here and we're believing with them or whatever. But if they're there, you lay hands on them. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's a commanding thing because we've been authorized to do that. I'm not a healer. He's the healer. But I'm an agent of Jesus. I'm authorized agent. I'm an ambassador. I've got the power of attorney, and I'm married to him, hallelujah, and I bear his name. But here he's talking about prayer, I believe, okay? And I'll make that a little plainer here in a minute as we go through this. But the key is the name. Mm-hmm. I don't come to God in my name. I come to God in his name. I don't come to God on my merit. I come to God on his merit. I don't come to God with a deal. This prayer is not let's make a deal. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll serve you. No, wait. Whoa. You ought to serve him anyway, okay? You don't come to God with something. You don't have anything to offer him. You have been authorized to pray in his name. He already gave you that. He gave you that when you got saved. When you became a believer, he authorized you to pray now. Wow. Just think about it. I mean, if I had to walk in this building, and let's suppose this were a shop or a business, and I say I owned it, and I owned everything in here. There was just stuff on shelves everywhere, and I walk around here, and whatever you ask me, you can have it. So, now you might run up to me, and I'd say, no, I didn't. I said him. I didn't say you, I said him. And you might run up and say, no, I said him. I told him to ask me. So he is authorized to ask. That's his job, is to ask me. Not your job.
That's good.
Y'all catching this?
That's good.
Now, if he walks out here without anything, that's his fault, not mine.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Because I told him to. I said, you ask me. If you ask me anything, I'll do it. Wow. So if you can look at it that way in prayer. See, there's laying hands on sick, casting out devils. That's a commanding thing. But in prayer, God has picked us out to ask him. Not anybody can do that, but we can because we're believers. Everyone that believes on Jesus is authorized to ask him in Jesus' name. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than I do, shall I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Whatever you ask. Now, notice the 15th chapter. We're still on this subject. 15th chapter, 16th verse. While we're in John 14, go to John 15. Look at the 16th verse. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whatever you ask. It's kind of like King Herodias.
Yeah.
You know, when his daughter is not wax, it wasn't his daughter-in-law. It was his adulterous wife, his brother's wife, whom he married's daughter. That makes sense? Yeah. Oh, what a mess we weave. But anyway. And, of course, John the Baptist called him on it and says, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he married her anyway. And she came up. She danced before him. And he says, whatever you ask me, I'll give it to you, up to half the kingdom. Well, he'd already locked up John the Baptist for all the things he'd said, but he was afraid of John the Baptist, so he wouldn't kill him. Well, her mother said, here's what you need to do. Herodias, his mother, I guess. The mother. The daughter came to her mother, and the mother said, you go ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And she went up to Herod and said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And it shook him to the core. But the Bible says because he said it in front of all the people, and he was the king, he could not back off his word. And so they went and beheaded John the Baptist, and it came in a charger and set it in a platter, and there it was. See, he gave her, I know it's a terrible story, but carte blanche, he gave her the right to ask anything, and he couldn't back off, and he was an earthly, wicked, evil king. And here's God giving us the authority to ask whatever's in his kingdom, obviously, whatever he has to offer. And he picked us out. There's a lot of people there when that his stepdaughter danced. But she was the only one that he said you could ask. Are you with me? In the world, there's a lot of people, but only the ones that believe in Jesus are chosen to bear fruit, that whatever you ask in my name, he'll give it to you. Wow. So we come to the Father because we've been picked out. This is our job. We've been chosen for this. We've been chosen and ordained and destined for such a time as this, to pray and believe God and receive answers to prayer. That's our job. That's what we're destined to do. That's what we're chosen to do. I didn't choose me. He chose me and ordained me that I would bear fruit. Now, that's not just souls. That's fruit of prayer, fruit of answered prayer, that whatever you ask. Woo. Y'all see that? Shows you go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Wow. I love that. It's not my goodness. It's not my holiness. It's not my ability. It's not my force of will. It's just the name. I come on the merits of the name. Now, turn to, where were we? 15th chapter? Turn to the 16th chapter. Let's look at this again. We're still talking about prayer, separate from just demanding and commanding something to happen. See, when you cast a demon out, you don't want to ask God for it. It's not prayer. You say, come out. And even all through the book of Acts, you see this about healing. Actually, healing was just something they commanded. You know, Peter looked at a man that was crippled from his mother's womb and says, "Silver and gold such I have, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by his right hand and jerked him up. Yeah. He didn't pray for him. Are you with me? So we call it a prayer line, and it's right because people come up for us to lay hands on them. But, you know, anybody could do that, you, me, anybody. And, you know, so Brenda prays for people to be healed, she just says, "Be healed in Jesus' name, from the top of your head to the tip of your toe, in the name of Jesus." We pronounce, we speak healing to you, we speak life to you, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Does that make sense? Because when you go through the Bible, that's the way they did it. Now, we have learned religiously to do it another way. Y'all out there? These Wednesday nights, I know, are intense. I know they're real intense teaching, almost like we're in a Bible school or something here. But it's good nonetheless. I think we need to tweak these things. We need to look at this in the Scripture and see what the Scripture says, because I think we're ineffective in a lot of cases because we're not doing it right. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to do this. Now, there's a lot of things I ask God for in Jesus' name. But when I'm praying for healing, I need to just command the person to be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. All the cases in the Bible, that's the way it happened. Okay. That's the way Jesus did it. He spoke. You know what? The disciples, they came to Jesus and said, "The demons are subject to us through your name." Yeah. You know? Okay. All right. Y'all found 16th chapter. Yeah. 16th chapter, 23rd verse. "And in that day you will ask me nothing." Well, you know, I pray to Jesus. Well, you can worship Jesus. You can talk to Jesus. But we don't ask Jesus. We ask the Father. Right. "Jesus, I just ask." Well, no, really. It's, "Father, I come to you in Jesus' name." Isn't that right? You say, "You don't talk to Jesus." Oh, I talk to Jesus all the time. I worship Jesus. I fellowship with Jesus. But Jesus told me to ask the Father in his name. So when I'm asking for something, I ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Well, yes, we worship the Lord. We worship Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. But there is protocol in asking. There's a right way to do these things. And so God gave us the rules. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? He says, "In that day," and everybody say "that day." He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about when he rises from the dead after he dies and rises again. New covenant. Okay? "In that day, you'll ask me nothing." Because they had been asking him. They'd been following him around for 3 years, 3.5 years here, and asking him all kinds of things. "Most surely I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now let's back up a minute here. Wait a minute. Okay. In Luke 10, verse 17, the disciples returned and said, Lord, rejoicing, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Isn't that what it says? Didn't Jesus send them out to heal the sick, and raise the dead, and cast out devils? And he sent the 70 out in Luke, the 10th chapter. He sent the 12 out in Luke 9, and the 70 out in Luke 10. And they went out, and they cast out devils and raised the dead, and they laid hands on the sick. But that really wasn't considered prayer in this sense. Because Jesus said, now they're fixing to crucify Jesus. This is what we call the Seder, the Lord's Supper. Right after this, they took him, abducted him and took him, and wound up crucifying him. So everything the disciples did while Jesus was walking around preaching and teaching had already been done. Okay? Peter's getting ready to betray him this very night. They're going to the Garden of Gethsemane as soon as this is over. And he says, up till now you have asked nothing in my name. Well, I thought they did all kinds of stuff in his name. Well, they never asked the Father. They didn't pray that way before Jesus rose from the dead. He authorized them to use his name to cast out devils, but they didn't ask. They just said, come out. He authorized them to lay hands on the sick, and they did. They had power to heal diseases and all that. But they just said, be healed. But they didn't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead yet. So he said, after this manner, pray ye therefore, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Are you with me? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We give those trespasses against us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, that was pray after this manner. Pray ye. He didn't say, ask the Father in my name there in Matthew 6, 9, 10, and 11, where we call the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. They couldn't go to Father in Jesus' name. Now, under his ministry, they could cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, because he authorized them, but they weren't asking the Father anything. They were operating Jesus and company. Y'all catching that? Okay. Are we tracking together here? Okay. Now, we still do that the same way, but we ask, we pray now differently. Yeah, I love this. I like to see the little lights come on everybody's eyes. Okay. Until now, see, you got to answer this question. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. You got to answer this question. You know, if they've asked nothing in his name, what did they do? Well, they commanded the devil to come out. They commanded healing to come on people, but they weren't asking anything. They weren't asking the Father anything. Okay. And so we're casting the devil out. We're not asking the Father anything. We've been authorized to cast devils out. We've been commissioned to do that. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name they shall cast out devils. Wasn't talking about prayer there. He wasn't. Mark 16 is not talking about prayer. It's not talking about when we ask for wisdom, we ask for insight, we ask for a favor, we ask, you know, those are, we're asking things from God. But there are some things we just command. We use the name and we're authorized to use it that way. In prayer, we're authorized to use it to ask God. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken to you in figurative language or in parables, I think King James says. But the time is coming when I no longer speak to you in parables or in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. I authorize you to pray in my name. We're not asking Jesus to pray for us when we say in Jesus' name. We're using his name. Just like we're writing a check because we're married. We're writing a check on that joint account. And if it's in that account, we can cash that check. Now, you can ask God to burn someone's house down. That's not in the account. That check will bounce. Are you with me? Wisdom, boy, it's full. It got all kinds of wisdom. Favor, got all kinds of favor. Peace, got all kinds of peace in there. Whatever's in that account, what you ask in Jesus' name, you'll get it. You have that authority. You've been given that authority in the name of Jesus. 1 John 5, wrap this up. Helping you? In 1 John 5, you know, I love the analogy when you think about it. I don't think there's anybody that would deny that if I pray, if I give an altar call here, someone's lost and they come down here, and I say, you call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Right now, if you'll call on Jesus. And someone calls on Jesus and asks Jesus to come into their heart and says, I receive Jesus, or I confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. 13th verse says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:1 tells us that whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And John 1:12 says, to as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power, the right, or authority to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of blood, but of God. Even to those who believe on His name, is what it says. I don't think anybody, any church, whatever denomination, if they're a Christian church, if someone comes down the front and prays that prayer, would tell that person, look that person in the eye and say, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to call on Jesus. We're going to confess to Jesus. We're going to believe on Jesus. We're going to receive Jesus. According to this scripture, we're going to give it a shot. And you never know. God just might save you. Are you with me? I've never heard that in any altar call. I've never heard that in any church. Never. Because the scripture says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And you come up here and you call on that name. You come down here, you do that, you give your life to God, He'll give you His life. You will be saved. You walk out here a new man, new woman. Woo! Not if it be thy will. No, no, no. God said so. Are you with me? Why is it that when it comes to all the other things God promises, and there's many promises, that we come down with this idea that maybe He will, maybe He won't. You never know what the Lord will do. Well, we don't act that way when we got saved. We didn't act that way when we called on for salvation, to have our sins forgiven. They're just promises that He made, just like all the other promises He made. Yeah, but see, I don't know that I'm worthy. Well, you're calling on the name. That's the whole point. Are you with me? Yeah, but maybe I'm not good enough. Well, who's good enough to be saved? I mean, that's the biggest thing that ever happened in your life, and that had nothing to do with you. But there was a humility, there was a surrender, and there was an acceptance, a finality to what God said when you made that call and you made that decision. That's the way we've got to come to God in prayer. And that's what He says here in 1 John 5:13. Listen to this. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. How many of you believe in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
I believe. That you may know that you have eternal life. Woo! I love it. You know, I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door one time years ago. And I was in Houston, I think is where I was. Yeah, I was living in Houston at the time. And they came on a Saturday morning, you know, which is a terrible time to go witnessing if you're going to go witnessing. But anyway, woke me up on a Saturday morning, you know, came knocking on my doors, an older fellow and a younger fellow. An older fellow was training a younger fellow, you could tell, you know. So I opened the door and I thought, oh boy. And they said, sir, you know, and they quoted some scripture about, you know, do you believe in a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness and so on? Yes, I do, I do. And, you know, and then they started their line and they started coming at me. And I said, just stop, hold right there before you go any further. I said, I know you know, you're knocking on these doors and I understand all that. I said, I am saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues and cast out devils. I said, I have what you are looking for. I already have what you're looking for. I don't need what you have. You need what I have. So before you go any further with that, let's just stop and talk about this a minute. And he said, well, you said born again. He said, I guess you're a Baptist. And I said, well, no, wait a minute. Now, God bless Baptists, but born again, that term's in the Bible. It's even in your Bible. And I grabbed their Bible, you know. And I showed it to them. I said, you must be born again. Well, we don't know about it. And I said, no, wait a minute. Whoa. I said, now, that's what Jesus said right there. And I said, now, let me tell you something else. I turned over to this verse and showed them that in their Bible. And I said, see, I'm not waiting to find out whether I'm going to heaven or not. I'm not waiting to find out whether I'm going to be in that 144,000 that's going to make that new kingdom with those Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. I am born. I already have eternal life. That's what it says right here. Now, the question is, do you know if you have eternal life? Do you know you have? Well, we don't know. I said, well, I do. I know. See, that's what I'm saying. I know it. You need what I have. And this young man was really, he's starting to listen, you know. And this older guy was getting nervous because I was using their Bible, you know, and showing them all this stuff. And this older guy says, now, sir, and, boy, I mean, the Holy Ghost must have come on him. He says, sir, you have got to appreciate our dedication and our sincerity. He no more got that out of his mouth than this came out of my mouth. I said, sir, you are sincerely wrong and you're dedicated to a lie. I said, sincerity won't get you to heaven and dedication won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus will get you to heaven. And they left. But anyway, how true is that? You think all of our sincerity is going to get us to heaven? All of our dedication going? You think you can knock on enough doors to get to heaven? You'll never knock on enough doors to get through the pearly gates. Never will happen. Can't pass out enough watchtowers to make heaven. Won't happen. But you, if you believe on the name of Jesus, if you believe on Jesus, you can know you have eternal life. Isn't that what it says? These things have I written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Now listen to this. And, everybody say and. Man, circle that, underline, do something with it. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So we started out this thing by believing in the name, calling on the name, which represents Him. That's not a magic word. I mean, He is Jesus. There is someone behind that name. We call on Him in His name, and we receive life, and we're saved now. Now we should continue to believe on that name, like Jesus said over and over, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Next verse says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, and His word is His will. That's not complicated, okay? That's not some mysterious thing. If God says it, that's His will. My will is what I say. So, but if I ask anything according to His will, and obviously in the name, because that's the whole point He's making here, to believe on the name. If I ask anything according to His will, not just eternal life, that was His will. Do you believe it's God's will for you to be saved?
Right.
How do you know that? You know that because the Bible says that, right? And so you took a promise that said that, that's His will, you believed it in Jesus' name, you call on Jesus, and you were saved. Hallelujah. Now let's continue to do that. Finding things in the Bible that God says. And praying in Jesus' name. And have this confidence. Same confidence that you have that you're saved. Same confidence that you know God heard you when you prayed that prayer to be saved. You should come with that kind of confidence when you come to God with another scripture and another promise and another request that is written in the Word of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according, not just salvation, not just eternal life, not just forgiveness of sins, but if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And we know we have the petitions, the things that we desired of Him. Wow. All because of the name. The authority wrapped up in that name. Boy, I tell you, we've been given a name that is the key to heaven, the key to the kingdom of God. It's the key to the promises of God. I tell you, it covers all of our sin. It covers all of our weakness. It covers all of our inexperience, as it were. I mean, you know, all the reasons that we come up with for not getting an answer to prayer. When I call on the name of Jesus, it just, I tell you, all bets are off, as we say. I mean, I go right on into heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful? See, that's the kind of confidence that we need to pray with when we have a promise. Well, we got a promise. Hey, we got His name. It needs to happen, doesn't it? We need to be using that name and asking according to these promises and walk out of here with confidence, hallelujah, that we have what we ask for. Pray in the name. Our authority is in it, praise God, and we've been given it to do just that. Hallelujah.